John has been a part of our church Crossroads, but he's been stationed in New Jersey doing a special project, and we called him up and really asked him to be involved in today's service, and he said, man, if that's what we're doing, I'm on it. So we traveled back just to be here this weekend where he normally wouldn't be here, because he and the rest of us believe the core of our being that it's time for us to get a little crazy around here. This is a critical service for us. This is what we're calling overtime. Last week we did a fun Super Bowl service. But then in overtime, it's like everything starts from scratch. The deck is cleared and you start brand new fresh. And that's kind of where Crossroads is right now. This is a critical moment in our church's history where we have to decide whether or not we want to be serious about being about what God would have us to be, or whether or not we want to play church. I'd like everybody, if you could, in this section, stand right here, this section, go stand right here, and this section, all you stand right here, and this section, all you stand right here, and way back, just you and the risers, you stand. Now while you're standing, turn around to someone and say hello, and those who are seating, turn around and say hello, just say, okay, all right, enough niceties. Now stay standing, here's why we're doing this. All you people are standing, you represent all the extra seats that were added when some people did some crazy things to move out of a rented facility on Erie Avenue 26 months ago to come in here. And people not done crazy things, all you people would have never been able to come because there was no space for you. Yes, you can go sit. You can go and be seated now. If you're the first time here today, man, I'm sorry. It's going to be an intense one for you. We've been mentioning this in our program, at least it was in there last week, and so if you don't read your program, you would know that this is the official start of our crazy campaign kickoff. We're going to be going on a 5-month journey to help us understand what God would have all of us do in meeting the needs of people who are in this community and outside of our community. This is a one-time service. It's kind of popping up above the radar screen. We're going to talk about some things that all of us in this church have to know in order to be in the know for the next 5 months. And then there's going to be a team effort that's going to be underground. You're not going to hear about it a lot from the weekend service until about May. But the reality of the situation is, 26 months ago we had 1,500 people come to Crossroads. Last week we had 5,400 people that were here. We have a burden for people who don't know who God is and need a deeper relationship to be able to have a space for them. We also have a burden for things God has been doing in us and helping us establish a strategic partnership over in South Africa with a church that is right smack dab in the middle of the AIDS crisis. And we want to be able to partner with them in addition to meeting our needs here, which is going to include stuff like tripling kids' space, giving this place to CSM, putting a 3,000-seat structure in the front parking lot, adding more meeting space, more parking space around here, also building an AIDS hospice and mortuary center over in South Africa. Also included in that is enabling us to do some things here in the city, to partner with other strategic ministries here in the city and meeting the needs of the poor. Also involved in that is being able to resource other churches with some of the great creative ideas we have here to give them away for free all across the kingdom, as opposed to people having to go to a conference and pay for them or come here and pay for them. And we believe the core of our being that we are at a pivotal place in our history, and we may be the pivot for this city. We believe there's something special that's happening here that can be a blessing to everybody that is in this city. And the task before us is great, and great heroes have gone before us and have been faced with crazy circumstances all along. Because some people say, well, man, Brian, it's crazy to think that you can add on that much space. It's crazy when you got all these needs to build something over in South Africa. It's crazy to try to build into other people and the poor outside of you. And yes, it is crazy, but it's also biblical. Book of 1 Chronicles says this: the task is great because this palatial structure is not for a man, but for the Lord God. Everything is here. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's not for any of us. It's for God to do what He will do in and through us in blessing and touching other people's hearts. It's going to be totally fine for you to sit there and have your head spinning. We're not going to answer all your questions today. That's why it's going to be a 5-month journey. We just want to signal for you this is the journey that we are going to be on. I've had about a year and a half to process this because I've seen the reality of the numbers. And I've had a year and a half to process this. So I've crossed a lot of bridges. But I understand if you're freaked out and confused. I totally get that. You're welcome to the club. That's totally fine. Some of us around here have been processing this just for maybe a month and a half because we've known about it. And one couple who I'd never really talked before came up to me after a service, Paul and Amy, or is it Paul and Julie? I don't even know them. It's Paul and Amy, Paul and Julie, whatever, it doesn't matter. They came up after me. It doesn't matter because their story is what matters. That's what matters. And their story was that they matter to God. I know that and all that stuff. So they came up. Now, I talked to them. I said, hey, would you mind just kind of sharing that to help people know kind of the journey that you're on? And so we're going to do that in a moment, but we're also right now going to take up an offering. And that is so awkward. I'm so sorry. This is not like fire us up and then take an offering. We have basic bills we have to pay around here. We really do. That builds into us. And so we're going to take up an offering today. And if it's your first time today or you're just not sure what you think about this place, hey, no obligation. Just let the bag pass you by. But for those of us who call this place home, we could say, God, this is when I get to be a little crazy and be about other people. So we're going to take up an offering while we take a look at Paul and What's-Her-Face's story.
When we first came to Crossroads, I wasn't very excited about being here. I guess that's a good way to put it. And I would stand I would make sure we sat in the very top seat, and the music would come on, and I would cry my way through this at the beginning of the service. And I remember praying through the songs and through my tears, God softened my heart and let me know if this is where I should be. And it didn't take long. It's changed my heart. It's changed my life. It's changed our marriage. It's changed how we want to parent our children. It feels like every week we're trying to find somebody new to bring because we're so excited about it.
And we're no longer doing religion. We're doing faith. And our journey is we want to share it with everybody that we come across. It seems like every week we walk out of here saying, how can we ever do without this place? And it's just been, each week seems to, we build into this place a little bit more and call it home. And just with the serving, we serve in Kids Club, and where we are right now is kind of putting the rubber to the road and figuring out where our faith is and what our commitment's going to be with the church coming up with the crazy campaign, and just figuring out what we can do and how we're going to do it.
For us, this is one of the first times we've made a financial decision where we really feel like we are leaning into God. We don't know how it's all going to play out. We've been out looking at smaller homes and homes that would allow us to kind of change our financial landscape a little bit more so we have more money to give. And at a time, you know, when we're adding to our family, it feels a little crazy. It feels downright scary. I feel like we're kind of wrestling with God about this. And
for the first time ever, we're both looking in the Bible for answers on some of this, which is, you know, 2 years ago, I would have thought it was crazy just to open the Bible and look for anything in it, versus now with, the depth that this church has given us and the tools that it gives us, we can look at those things and use them to help us versus being scared of them and not wanting to take that next step. It seems like at this time in our lives, we've just got craziness going on at home, and then the whole crazy campaign goes right along with it, where it really scares me as to how we're going to do that. But just to be able to lean into God and know that He's going to provide is very eye-opening.
Why don't we pray together? God, today, as you know, is just going to be filled with information, more information than we can process. And even in the midst of all that information, we're not even going to come close to giving everybody all the information they want right now. And I know that, but I ask that the information that you want us to have right now would come through very clearly, and that our hearts would be touched as a result of it, and that we would all have a deeper understanding and awareness of what you're doing in this church. This church is not God. It's not about this church. It's about you and what you're happening to do through this church. So help my words be clear and our hearts to be soft. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing that new movie. I think it's called, is it called Miracle on Ice or Miracle? You know what I'm talking about? It's about the United States hockey team when they won the gold medal against Russia. And I think it was 1980, right? Yeah, 1980. And I don't know if you ever saw that game before or if you saw the tape to that game, but for me, that game will forever be synonymous with Al Michaels calling the final seconds of that game against Russia when he said, "Do you believe in..." Yeah, it's kind of like that, you know, tastes great, less filling. "Do you believe in..." Yeah, so it's incredible, and obviously you do, based on your enthusiasm, you believe in miracles. I believe in miracles, but I don't believe in miracles because of what I saw in 1980 on the television. I believe in miracles because what I've seen around here. It has been a miraculous thing what's happened in this church over the last 7.5 years or so. 11 people... were bothered when they lived in Hyde Park and Mount Lookout. They were bothered that their friends didn't have a place to come and experience who God was in a church that spoke their language, challenged them in an appropriate way, but didn't assume that they believed things that they didn't believe. And they were bothered by that. They were bothered there wasn't any room for their friends. And they did this crazy thing by deciding to start a church and place an ad in a publication that I answered and came here. And then 11 of us, you know, we were bothered that we didn't have enough people to start this church. So we did everything we could to find 35 people to start this church who were bothered that our friends didn't have a place to connect with God through a church that spoke their language. And we did crazy things like spend all of our own personal money to make this happen. We had no denominational support, no mother church support. It was no phantom millionaire fat cat, just basic people with their own checkbooks. And it was a crazy thing to start this church like that. The denomination I was a part of really didn't want anything to do with it. And I said, okay, well, if that's the case, then I won't be a part of my denomination anymore. And then as we grew and more people started coming, we were continually bothered and we didn't have space, so we kept adding more services. And then that seemed to solve the problem, but then we'd have more problems. And then about 4 years or so ago, 1,500 people were bothered, just really bothered, that in a rented facility that wasn't designed to spiritually build into us or our friends, that we needed more space. And so we did this crazy, crazy thing, like make a 3-year financial commitment above and beyond what we regularly gave to try to make this place a reality. That was crazy. That was great. That's the journey we're going to go on right now. At the end of this 5 months, we're going to be able to say, all of us, God, what would you have me do above and beyond what I regularly give to see people have a place to be touched and to see other people be built into in this city and elsewhere? And that's a crazy thing. That's a crazy thing to think that we could do that. It's a crazy thing to think that we could foot that price tag, which we're not sure exactly what it is, but right now looks like it's in excess of $20 million. That's a crazy thing. It's going to take a miracle. It's like we've seen for 7.5 years. I told someone asked me how we got this building about a week and a half ago or so, and I told them, they were like, "You're kidding." They were stunned. And I realized there's hundreds and hundreds of us in here who've never heard some of the basic miracles that happen around here. I'll just give you one. When we first came into this, when we first wanted to buy this building, we had 30 of us, and we gathered and we held hands in the parking lot when this is an HQ, and we prayed. We didn't announce it to the whole church because we didn't want to communicate to people in the church who are businessmen that you ought to come and compete against us in the bid. Because a lot of people didn't know that this thing was going to go up for sale. So we prayed. We prayed in the parking lot. We prayed that God would give us this building. We weren't naive enough to think that God would literally give us, hand us over the deed. We literally prayed that when we went to bid on the building in public auction, that God would blind and confuse our competitors. So we prayed for it. God would blind and confuse our competitors. So a couple weeks later, I found myself with our attorney and another guy at Wall Street in New York City, about 2 floors beneath street level, in a massive bid with bidders from all over the country, building on every builder's square, every Heckinger, every home quarters. And our property came up on the docket, and we had about $4.6 million to work with, and we got the property for $4.6 million. And I remember coming up in that the lobby of that place right on Wall Street, bawling like a baby. Because God had just done a miracle. I was bawling like a baby. I couldn't believe what had just happened. But then I couldn't believe what happened the next couple of days, because we had people contact us from other organizations. One specifically, a few days later, offered us $10 million on the spot if we would just turn around and sell it right back to them, because they were supposed to be there for the auction and they had missed their plane. We found out there was 3 other corporations or organizations over the span of the next several months that were all supposed to be there. They either missed their flight, or the people who were supposed to be there crossed their wires and they thought the other person was supposed to be there. And we found that God literally blinded and confused people to enable us to have this property and this facility. A demographic study was done by one of the developers here in the area, and they told us that the corner that we're on here, Madison Ridge, more people live within 15 minutes of Madison Ridge than any other intersection in the entire tri-state region. This property, God has put us literally at the crossroads of the tri-state region. And we believe there's a reason for this. We don't think this is, you know, just accidental. We think that God is doing something unique and significant here. And now God is asking all of us, will you be a part of it? And will you do something crazy to be involved in what I want to do in your lives and through this entire process? And every time we do something on here, people say we're crazy. People, some of my closest friends say we're crazy to actually try to buy this building. I admit it. We are. 2 Corinthians 5:13 says this. If we're out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. And if we're in our right mind, it's for you. People who have been serious about God and serious about people have been called crazy and insane and out of their minds since the beginning of time. And all I say is, yes, we are crazy. I'm sorry. If we love you so much that we think that God could do big things and we'll do crazy sacrificial things, yes, guilty. If you think it's crazy to actually think that God is real and God does miracles and that he cares for me enough to invite me to join him in his work, then yes, crazy. At every single phase of our church's history, we've had to say, I'm bothered right now. I'm bothered. And every time, when it was 11 or 35 or 500 or 1500, and now that's 5,000, we got to say, all right, am I really bothered by this? Or do I just want to sit back, hold hands and sing Kumbaya, just say, here we are right now. Or in our context, we don't sing Kumbaya, but I just want to come in here and just sit and like watch videos and be, you know, have entertainment, spirituality, and kind of feel good about where I am. You are here. Everyone is here because somebody was bothered. Everybody is here because somebody got crazy. Every last person here. And the miracles in your life, I don't have the time to talk about them, but you know the miracle in your life. You know it. You know the changes that have happened in your life. And it's stunning, and it's because what God has done in and through this place. And so what I want you to know today for the Crazy Campaign, there's only three things you're going to need to know through the Crazy Campaign. It's a spiritual journey. There's only three things I'm going to ask you to go through. Three spiritual steps. Number one, surrender. Surrender. What I mean by surrender is this. Recognizing that, God, I don't really cling to anything that's mine because really it's not mine. It's yours. And I recognize that anything that I have is because you gave it to me. Most of us say, well, what's mine's mine, and what's yours is what I want to be mine. This is the way most of us live or think through our lives. And we're going to learn over the next 5 months, and I'm not trying to convince you of all these three things right now. I'm just giving you a precursor to what's going to happen. You know, we're going to learn over the next 5 months that everything we have comes from God, and God gives us a blessing to use it, manage it, and steward it. Everything. Everything that we have is from God. And you say, well, no, I'm a self-made person. Man, I'm self-made. You're not. You're not. I mean, if you use your intelligence to make your money or make your life, God gave you your intelligence. Everything you have traces back to what God is. This pen right now, someone gave me this pen. I never created this pen. Someone gave me this pen. It's kind of like everything in my life. And we're going to ask all of us to bring up on the table of our life and just recognize, God, all these things, whatever they are, my keys, whatever, I'm just going to bring up the table, bring it out in the open, say, God, I just want to recognize that all these things in my life, all my accounts, all my furniture, whatever, all my things, all I just want to do is bring them out of hiding, God, put them on the table and say, God, that's all yours. I just want to surrender that. That's all we're going to do. That's step one. The second thing is we're going to do is we're going to listen. We're going to help each other listen. We're going to say, okay, now God, of all this stuff here, what do you want? Do you want any of this back? Do you want me to kind of take this and redirect this anyway? Because God, this is all yours. It's all on loan. I'm just here to manage it. And so God, what is it that you would like back? Listen. Listen. I had people come up to me after the last campaign that we did, and it was a woman who was one of the few in our midst that time that actually had a church background. And she came up and she was bawling when she came up and talked with me. She said, I want to tell you I'm so thankful that I'm so thankful for this whole journey, this whole process. She said, I was a part of a church before when I heard that Crossroads was going to be going through a campaign. I was just scared to death because the last time people called me at my house and they told me how much I was to give and they guilted me and it was painful and it was awful. And I just want to tell you, thank you. This has been a wonderful process. And this is really the way we're going to run the process again. It's not about me or anybody else saying, here's your fair share. It's all of us going through a journey. We say, God, what do you want? Listen. Listen. And the third thing is do it. Do it. Okay, God, you want the pen? Okay, it's yours. I'll give it right back. You can have it back. This process is the same process that I went through when I went over to South Africa. I went over to South Africa and realized, God, there's a lot of things going wrong in this world. And as a pastor of this church, and it's not my church, it's not any of our churches, it's your church, but you've kind of given me a little level of leadership to manage this place on some level. So I went over there and said, God, I just surrender to you. Crossroads isn't about me. It isn't about any of us. It's not about anybody in Cincinnati. It's yours. So I just surrender to you. And when we go over to South Africa, if you want Crossroads to do anything over there, I just wonder, because that's fine. And then I'm going over there and I'm trying to hear, God, what is it? Is there anything here we're to do? Is there anything here we're to do? What is it? What is it? And as I heard the story of how people would whittle away to nothing in their houses dying of AIDS, and I heard the story how to add insult to injury, they would have to keep the corpse in the house to figure out how to pay for the funeral, because the funeral is so high and expensive. It's one of the really wacky cultural things that in order to have a funeral done the way that is culturally acceptable, you have to go into years and years of debt, basically a mortgage. And so generational poverty is continued and heightened just because people want to bury their loved ones. And when I realized that we could not only just nurse people who weren't being nursed through in the final stages of dying of AIDS, and be a blessing to the family financially by having a mortuary under the house, I heard that. I said, okay, God, that's it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And there's times I'm sitting here going, man, that money could be used somewhere or another. I realize there's all the temptations, but in this spiritual journey, the same spiritual journey I want all of us to go through, I say, God, I want to do that. That's what I want to be about. This journey we're going to be on is an incredibly fulfilling journey we're going to go on. It will be very fulfilling, but it will also be hard. It will be hard. There will be things that we will be faced with that we're not going to know how to deal with. But we will do it because we believe that there's people who need to have an understanding of God and God's power and miracle working through them. And it just so happens God works in the context of community, and the local church is the primary delivery method that God has always had from the beginning of time. In this place right now, we have some people who are really fired up. We have some people that are totally freaked out. I totally get that. And we have some people in this place that are going to do everything they can to thwart the spiritual journey that many of us are going to undergo for the next 5 months. Actually, I'm sure in this room right here, I'm sure nobody is, you know, going to be negative in our campaign. I'm sure everybody in here is going to be positive. But we learned something from the last campaign. Actually, somebody called me before the campaign. A friend of mine is a pastor in another city. He said, get ready, because when you start this thing, the crazies will come out. And that's like a negative term, not a positive term. I said, what do you mean the crazies will come out? He said, well, all the people come out who just have a vested interest in not seeing your church take, you know, the high ground and really don't want to part with their resources. And it will make life very difficult for you. And I said, oh, no, that can't be. No, 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 not our people. You don't know our people. Well, he knew our people. Let me tell you, last campaign, he knew them. And the crazies are going to come out again this time. And Joe, just so you don't get derailed from your journey, because people are going to try to derail you from your journey over the next 5 months, let me give you a forewarning of some of the things you're going to hear swirling around here. The crazy are going to say stuff like, Brian just wants to build his own kingdom. Okay? And I understand that. I understand the perception of that. And I can't answer all these in depth right now, but, you know, I've been here for 8 years now, and I think my life speaks. And I think people who know me best understand that. And if you really think that that's what I'm about, man, I agree that you just don't know me. Let me tell you something. I am comfy cozy right now. Thank you very much. I need nothing else in my life. Nothing. This has been a major struggle for me, and I haven't wanted this for a lot of different reasons. Believe me, I don't get anything out of this. I don't. If someone wants to put that on me, then that's fine to put it on me. But friends, I tell you, it's just not reality. Some people say, well, we don't need a bigger and better building. We need... And they'll say, you know, more services, or we need more efficiency, or we need, you know, to just be more about feeding the poor and all those things. And, you know, yes, all those things are true. But all those things are exactly the reason why we need more space to build into ourselves and to other people. There's this dilemma that we all face. And I'll kind of put it this way. You know, all of us who are financial givers. We look at life this way. If this is like this is the church I'm a part of, we go, well, how much should the church get, and how much should like things that are outside of the country get, and what about like the poor in my city or the people who hurt in my city, and just what about other good ministries or other good churches that are out there, all that kind of stuff, and you know, how do I figure that out? Here's the way the Bible speaks to this. This whole thing is the work of the local church. This whole thing. Helping people outside the country. Helping the poor in the midst of the city, which is what we are doing and ramping up our efforts with. Helping other churches, which is why we're starting a part of our ministry called crazychurch.com, where we're offering all of our resources, all of our learnings free for churches and ministries all across the globe. It's a huge effort Brian Wells is leading. More on that at some other point. But all of these things... all of these things work the local church. And here's the way this works. The stronger this thing is, the thicker this thing, the more stable this foundation is, the more we're able to support. The more we're able to do. Let me tell you something. If we weren't the way we are right now, there's no way we could be able to do an AIDS hospice mortuary center over in South Africa. No way. We're going to hit that thing like a layup. Okay, it's going to be easy. We're going to do that. We're going to hit that. We gave away thousands and thousands of meals at Thanksgiving. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I'm not proud of the fact that prior to that effort, when Phil and Eileen Tan, volunteers around here, had that vision to do that, that we all participated in Thanksgiving, I never fed anybody on Thanksgiving. I never did. The reason I did and 8,000 people got fed is because someone cast a vision and the community came around it. If we were all dispersed all over the place, how many of those 8,000 people would have actually had meals? I bet about 50. And I just ask you, those of you who've given, when have you ever gone out and fed the poor on Thanksgiving? That's just an easy example to say, the stronger the local church is, the stronger the foundation, the more effective it can be in engaging the culture in which it resides. That's the way that the local church works. That's the way God has designed it. The crazies will also say stuff like, well, I want to know where all the money they have now goes. That's what I want to know. I want to know that, as if there's some funny business going on around here. Let me tell you, I've never written, signed a check. I've never authorized a check to come to myself. Every financial decision, there's multiple staff, multiple volunteers that are involved with. We have an external CPA firm once a year that comes in, swifts in, looks at our books. If you're, you know, if you think there's something funny going around here financially, you know, you just don't have a clue. I'll just put it that way. You just don't have, it's insulting to the volunteers who work in that area and the staff. So they'll say, well, before I give, I want to know, and you can just kind of fill in your pet peeve. I want to know why CrossFit isn't doing this, or I want to know why they did that. You can insert, you know, the little pet peeve you've had that we've never done. Or you can insert the staffing situation that you've never understood. You can insert all the things that you don't have full information to. What you'll do is just say, this is now my opportunity to gripe about all the things I haven't liked. And that's what the craze will do. Now, I'm just saying this to all of us who want to go on a journey and say, this is going to happen to you. And it's going to happen to some of the friends who are closest to you. It just will. And just understand that we're all on a spiritual journey and have patience and hope that they get on the journey as well. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15 lays out the journey we're going to go on. It says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Everyone in here is going to be a cheerful giver. You might be an uncomfortable giver. You might be a challenge giver. Everyone in here is going to be a cheerful giver. And one of the ways you're cheerful is when you understand that the measure that I sow or get involved in what God is doing, that is the measure of spiritual fruit that comes back to me. And the more serious I am about God's business, the more serious that God is about my business. And the more serious He is about doing something in my life that wasn't happening before. And I want everybody to give, not under compulsion, but according to what God would have you to give. Now, some of us are going, I don't know how this is going to happen, Brian. We have a secret weapon. We have a secret weapon that's just going to make all of this just work beautifully. This is our secret weapon right here. Sorry, see, this is our fundraising strategy right here. No, there's no thermometers. There's no thermometers, and it's not a fundraising strategy. It's a spiritual journey. I said over and over again, for those of you who are going to have an attitude about this, I'll tell you again, there's three steps. Surrender, listen, and do it. And here's what I want to know. what about that don't you like? That's what the crazy campaign is. What about that don't you like? Do you not like recognizing that all this stuff is yours, God's? I mean, do you really think that God couldn't take anything away from you at any moment if he didn't want to? Do you not like recognizing, God, all I have is yours, not mine? Do you not like that? Do you not like listening to God? Do you not like that? And someone's going, I've never done that before. How do I hear from God? That's why it's a spiritual journey. We're going to equip all of us to be able to do that and hear from God. Do you not like saying, God, I want to hear from you. I don't just want to kind of be a chatty Cathy doll and blab at you. Blah, blah. I actually want to stop. And I actually want to listen. God, what do you want from me? Do you not like listening? Or do you not like doing it? Do you not actually like following through on what God wants you? What is there not to like about this? Very simple. That's all we're asking people to do. Surrender. Listen. And do it. What is not to like about that? Ran across an article that somebody shot me. I couple weeks ago. It's an anonymous article. I think it might be insightful for us today. It's called Why I Will Always Belong to a Church That Needs Money. Nice article, huh? On July 23rd, 1970, my wife Connie gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. For 3 years, we have tried unsuccessfully to start a family, so our joy was great with the arrival of what was to be our only biological child. We later adopted a daughter. Lance, the biological son, was born before it became acceptable for a father to be present in the delivery room, a fact for which I've been forever grateful. I waited in the hallway just outside the delivery room. At precisely 4:13 p.m., I heard a sound I will never forget, Lance's first cry. The nurse emerged with a smile and said, "You have a baby boy." I could hardly wait to get Connie and Lance out of the hospital and back home so I could get my hands on them. The wonderful glow of fatherhood was soon dimmed, however, when I was asked to visit the business office at the hospital. They wanted me to pay for Lance. In fact, it seemed to me that my wife and child might be held hostage until the hospital bill was settled. I wrote the check, paying all the expenses in full, freed my family, and made our escape. That check turned out to be one of only the first of hundreds and maybe thousands I would write on Lance's behalf. Children are expensive. There was formula to buy, food to buy, doctor visits, vaccinations. All of these things assaulted my bank account. Diapers and toys took their toll and clothes were a constant drain. And just about the time we built a great wardrobe for the kid, he would grow, forcing us to start all over again. As his age and size increased, so did the expenses. Soon it was baseball gloves, Nike shoes, uniforms. There were glasses for his eyes, braces for his teeth. And then disaster struck. Lance became a teenager. Now it was cars and dates and brand name clothes. Then came college. Lance has always and only wanted to be an architect. It seemed that he would be in school until he was 40 years old. Expenses soared, tuition, books, drawing tools. But of course, just like parents everywhere, we were happy to be able to help him, and we did all we could to support his growth and his dreams. And then one day, Lance died. On Halloween Day, 1991, we buried our 21-year-old Lance in our church's country cemetery, and that afternoon, we walked away from his grave, and since that day, we have never spent another nickel on Lance. And that's how I learned it. Death is cheap. Death can be sustained without expense. It is living that is costly. It is growth that is expensive. Our dreams, visions, and hopes require sacrifice. Death does not. That's why I will always belong to a church that needs money. A living, growing, thriving church will always require the continual, consistent, and conscientious support of its members. I'm excited to come under the leadership of people who have this vision. And I actually want to bring them up on stage. These are our leaders for this campaign. These are all volunteers. Please welcome our leaders as they come up in the campaign. Get to know them right now. And I would like to introduce this lady, a good friend of mine. This is Cindy Weiniger. Other than myself, she's the only paid person up here on staff. Cindy is the executive director here at Crossroads. You probably don't know exactly what she does. Basically, she is the glue. She's behind the scenes. She is the glue. She's what holds this whole thing together as the executive director, overseeing the machinery and the ongoing ministries of our church. And so as a staff contact, she's really responsible for helping to nurture all these volunteers and the critical roles they have. So, Cindy, thanks for being a blessing and talk to us.
Well, I just want to say on behalf of all of our staff that we are just completely psyched up. The energy in the office is over the top these days because this is such a rare opportunity for us as well. We've got to mobilize about 3,000 adults and the kids on top of that to be involved in this campaign. And so for us, getting that many people under the umbrella of one team to be able to do this is something that we'll never probably be able to have the experience of doing again with an event like this. And so we are completely psyched. And with that, I want to introduce who is the people who are leading the campaign. And that's Tanya Hyatt and Steve Wanamaker. Come on up, you guys. Tanya and Steve are the volunteers who are leading all of the team of creative, talented people behind me, and then we'll be coordinating the events of the campaign coming up. And so I'm going to turn it over to them because they have a number of needs to tell all of us about in terms of getting involved with the campaign. So thanks, you guys. It's a privilege to work with you.
Well, as you know, I'm Steve. That's Tanya. Everyone, what I'd like you to do is grab your card that you should. Does everyone have this yet? You guys should have it?
No? Well, let's pass it out.
Let's pass them out. This right here, it says sign up, sign me up.
Actually, while you do it, see, let me give you a little precursor. Let me pause you for a minute. Yeah, let me just call out something here. There's not a lot of diversity on this stage right now. And we need to talk about that for a minute. We tried to identify who are the best people to fill the spots that we're in right now. One of the things that's happened over the last 2 years or so at our church is we've become much more and increasingly diverse, and it's an awesome and beautiful thing. And so as we went to our leaders who are of different skin hues than are up here in our church, they're tapped. They're involved in critical ministries. And this is a reflection of who has been serving in our church over the last several years. And one of the reasons we're excited about this is our next generation of leaders are going to come through the campaign. Our next generation of leaders are going to come through the campaign. So you need to listen really, really clearly as Steve and Tanya talk about this, because it's not just about the issue we have of all the crazy financial stuff we've got to look at, but it's also our leadership structure is going to be dependent upon how we all respond. So go ahead, Steve.
So as it looks like we're passing out the cards. Before we move on, we want to make sure that everyone has a card. I see they're making their way around. Okay, if you have a card, take it and look at it. And you see where it says name? Do you guys see that? Guess what I want you to do? Put your name on there. Email. I want you to put your email in there as well. Your address, that's city, state, and zip, daytime phone number, and evening phone number. And the reason why I'm being specific is last night, we had people that just, you know, signed like 2500 Erie Avenue. Well, I'm from Westchester, and I don't know about you guys, but in Westchester, we need to have the whole address if you're going to receive mail. So what I want you to do is take some time to fill the whole thing out. And we're not going to sell this list to any slick salesperson, no marketing team. This is just used to help us communicate with you. This is just for the crazy campaign so you can understand what's going on. Now let me say a thing. When they first approached me about doing this, I thought, man, this is crazy. You know, we have a business we're doing. My wife's pregnant. I mean, you know, I am busy. But, you know, when I thought about what God did in my life and through my family's life in the last 7 years, I thought to myself, you know, if I didn't take a serious look about getting involved, I would short-circuit what God was doing in my life. So as you're looking at those cards, as you're filling that out, in a second, Tanya's going to come up. She's going to explain all the different ways that you can serve, that you can volunteer. But friends, I'm here today to tell you, you know, getting involved with the community of volunteers like we all are, and doing this journey together, you know, for myself, for like Tanya introduced me to my wife 7 years ago. You know, it's going to be a life-changing.
Is that a good thing?
It's a good thing. Yeah. It's a real good thing. A real good thing. So anyway, it's going to be a life-changing experience. So anyway, here it goes.
And I want to emphasize that you can determine your level of involvement. You can determine how many hours you give, and this is your chance not only to grow your heart and your life, but to give to other people. So I'm going to go through the different options. And I know some of you are thinking, well, okay, I don't even understand this. It's very foggy. I don't know if I can make a decision this quick if I want to be involved. Well, let me tell you, you can and you will today because we need you. As Cindy said, we need 3,000 people to make this campaign happen over the course of the next 3 to 4 months. So let me go through the teams, and these are people behind us are leading these teams, and they want you and need you to sign up. So the first one, 0 to 18. So if you have a passion for kids, junior high, senior high students, this is your team. The next one's the administrative support team. We call these the lick them, stick them, and stuff them team. And this team's going to get together and just have a great time mailing things and invitations in relation to events that we're going to have as part of this campaign.
And as Tanya's going here, if you've become interested in this, your next step is up on the screen. Your next step is a meeting that's right there on screen that you can get more information. We're not going to be able to give you anywhere near all the information today, but this gets you started, and that's your next step.
Right, and those meetings are all within 7 days from today, so be ready. The next event is their next team is a celebration event team. And at the end of this process, we're going to have a huge party out in the parking lot for all of us. 5,000 people are going to be there. So if you like to plan parties, this could be your team. The next is the finance team. I'm going to talk about finance and media. Both of these teams have most of their needs already met. So maybe choose a different team. The next team is the invitation team. And this team, we call them the smilers and dialers. So if you don't feel like you talk on the phone enough, maybe we'll give you a chance to do that a little bit more. And this team's going to be inviting people via the phone to a variety of events that we have. The next is a leadership event. And this is similar to the celebration event in that this is going to be a party for all those leaders in our church to really think about how we want to be involved. And so if you want to put on a party, this is your chance. We already talked to the media team. The personal contact team is a team that's going to create small meetings of 30 to 50 people for all of us to ask questions of Brian and learn more about the campaign. So if you want to help facilitate and host those sessions, that would be great. And then the last team is the prayer team, and obviously they're designed to pray for everything that's going on in the next few months. And the last one, well, we won't even talk about that one.
Yes, someone wrote, "I can't serve." We fired a person that did that. They're gone. Anyway, I'm just teasing. But so here's the deal. You see those boxes? Check one. Check a box. Check a box. And let's look at it for a sec. Can you put that slide back on? It had the times again. Okay, let's say, for example, if you checked the leader, or keep this slide up here. If you checked the invitation team, what's your next step? Let's everyone say it. If you check the invitation team, what are you supposed to do? What day?
February 11th.
All right. And I want to be specific because I've been out there and I've been confused sometimes. So, you know, we want to be as clear and specific as possible because it's a really important thing.
And this is a thing, friends, where it starts and ends. It's a defined commitment. End of May, it goes away. It's over. You can start up and you can start. Anybody can suck something up for 5 months. You know what I'm saying? And if you go to one and you don't like that team, you can switch to another one. But, you know, take a step out. Is there anything else? Can I pray for you guys? Let's pray for these people right now. Let's pray for these guys. God, thank you so much for these incredible leaders that are up here. The commitment they're making is just amazing as far as their time. And I pray that you would put a special covering upon them, that they would be protected and their time would be protected. Their families, if they have families, would be protected. And that they would all grow in an incredible way because they have extra amounts of your grace upon them. God, fill them with your spirit right now. Empower them for the incredible task ahead as they lead us in this spiritual journey. And I pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Give these guys a hand, would you? And they will be in the atrium as you walk out. You know, they'll be in the atrium. Now let me say one thing actually before I talk about this. If you didn't listen to what Steve said and didn't fill out a card, it's going to be very uncomfortable for you right now. Why? Why? You at least could check, "I can't serve on a team right now," but we needed everybody to do this so that we can accurately communicate to you all the things you need to know in the spiritual journey that's coming up. And I would just say, if you're sitting here saying, I'm just not going to fill this out, here's what I know. And by the way, before I say this, let me have some caveats. This probably doesn't apply to those of you who are the very first time or you're brand new here, something like this, but I can caveat this thing to death. I don't want to caveat to death. But it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. It has nothing to do. This is my church, and I want to be involved. I want to be involved. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. Everyone will be involved. And I'm saying, if you don't want to fill this out, here's what we know. We know you shouldn't be here next weekend. We know that. Because we know that you're really not interested in being part of this community and growing. And it's totally cool if we decrease by 50% next week. That is really fine with me. It really is. Because then we know what we have to deal with. And maybe if half of us don't come back, maybe we don't have to do crazy campaign. And I'm dead serious about this. I'm dead serious. We have got, if this is your church and you come, and by the way, also for those of you who like, you like to do church hopping, you like to do 2-3 churches a week, you got to choose now. I'm sorry, we don't have a seat for you. If this is your church, great, plug in, but we do not have a seat for you. We don't have a parking spot for you. I just can't say it any clearer than that. That's not the way the Bible teaches you to behave. That's not the way God works in and through you. If this is your church, great. But we don't have the infrastructure to kind of be the cool church that everybody just kind of sits and gets impressed with every week. That's just not it. It's time for us to get a little crazy and step out. You got to trust us by now. By now, if you don't trust us, man, I feel bad. We've got 7.5, 8 years of history on this. This is really sad right here. A white jersey. Clean jerseys really bother me, specifically at the end of games. When I used to play football, I would hate going into the locker room at the end of the game and turning in my uniform to the manager and when it was clean. You know why? Because that meant I didn't play. We didn't have AstroTurf back then where I played. When I turned in a clean jersey, it meant I didn't get in the game. And so I would learn this system. And so when I was like a sophomore in high school or something like that, and I wasn't really out in the field, I'd be kind of in the stretching exercise before the game. I'd be making sure I scratch my uniform up, and I'd be making sure that I would accidentally fall into mud puddles that were there in the field. You know, I'm doing everything I can to rub on grass, get some stain. So at the end of the game, I knew I wasn't going to get in, but at the end of the game, I could at least hand in a jersey that showed that I played. I'll tell you something. At the end of this 5 months, you do not want to have a clean jersey. The greatest days I had in my football career, which is not a big deal, it ended in 12th grade, okay? But the greatest days I had in my football career is when I went and turned this thing in, and it was torn, it was muddy, maybe even a little blood on it. The Bible says that we're all going to go before God one day, and some of us are going to be told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." You know who God says well done to? People who get dirty. People who get involved in the game. I'm calling you out today. Starts today. I'm saying if you've been content to just sit in the stands and look at all the cool things that have happened around here, that day's over. That day's over. It's time for us to get in the game. It's time for us to say, "God, I am about what you're doing in my life, and I want to be a part of this place because in the midst of this, I know I'm going to grow spiritually. I know that's going to happen." I'm going to invite the band to come out. And as the band comes out, we're going to do a song that helps us understand that this is not about Crossroads. This is about God. And if it's just Crossroads' abilities, we're going to fail miserably. It's about God's abilities. The song is called Awesome God. And actually, I'd just stand right now. Go ahead and stand. You can stand, and we're going to take all of the cards and pass them down to your right. Pass all the cards down to the right. Rip them in half. Pass them all down to the right. And we're going to have the ushers come and collect them. And while they do that, we're going to sing this song to God. Denise is going to lead us in this song called Awesome God, and then I'll close in prayer. So Denise, lead us in this song.